Chapter 7. At the corner of the street near Corey's apartment, Roiland saw some boys from Bluford. None of them were his friends, but he knew who they were. Bobby Wallace was there, leaning on his car with Shawnetta Green and some other troublemakers from Bluford. Some of the kids stared at Roiland as he drove by. A fresh wave of depression swept over him. He did not fit in with the thugs like Bobby and Londell James. He was scared stiff of them. He did not fit in with the nice, smart kids like Hakeem. He did not fit in with the jocks like Cooper Hodden, who did great things on the football field. Roiland never felt he fit in with anybody. He was a below-average student, a mediocre athlete, a social outcast. He was the kid from the family with a crazy dad who yelled and broke things so often that Roiland never dared to have a friend over. When Roiland got home, his phone was ringing. Darcy answered it. She had put the younger children to bed, and Amberlynn was staying over at Darcy's house with her younger sister, Jamie. "It's for you, Roiland," Darcy said, returning to the kitchen to clean up the last of the dinner mess before she went home.
"Hi, Roiland," Corey said in a frantic voice. "Oh, you gotta help me. Our history paper is due in 3 days, and I haven't even started it. Mom says if I get lower than a B in any of my classes, she'll ground me."
Roiland was disappointed that she did not say anything about the necklace. He had given it to her a little more than an hour ago, and already she was on to something else.
"You still like your necklace, don't you?" he asked.
"Sure I do, Roiland. I adore it. And I'll love you forever and ever for getting it for me. But if I don't do well in this history paper, we won't be able to go out together. Mom will ground me for 100 years.
"Man, Corey, I'm lousy in history, too. I got a D minus in that class. I already did my paper for Eckerly, but I'll be lucky if I get a C," Roiland said.
"Do you know anybody who'd do my paper for me, Roiland?"
Just then, Roiland heard Darcy rattling around the pots and pans in the kitchen. "I'll call you back, Corey. I got an idea," Roiland said. After he hung up, he went into the kitchen. "Hey, Darcy, you want to do me the biggest favor in the world?" he asked. Darcy smiled and put the casserole dish away.
"If I can, sure," she said.
"You know Corey Archer?"
"Yeah.
She's my girl now, and Eckerly has signed that huge history paper, and she just can't do it.
You get good grades, Darcy. You could knock out that paper for Corey without any sweat," Roiland said.
"I'd be glad to work with Corey tomorrow at lunch, and after school, too. I'll show her how I did mine, and..."
"No," Roiland cut in. "She needs somebody to do the paper, because she's lousy at that kind of stuff. And this huge history paper is just impossible. All you'd have to do is write it up on the computer at school and put her name on it."
"Roiland, it's not a huge paper. It's just 3 pages, and I won't write it for her and put her name on it. We both get in trouble."
"Please, Darcy, you gotta do it for me. I got all kinds of problems, and if something goes wrong with me and Corey, I couldn't take it, okay?"
"Roiland, tomorrow at lunch, I'll work with Corey," Darcy said.
"Me and Corey have lunch together. That's our time. I can't have her working with you. That's our time, don't you see?"
Darcy rolled her eyes.
"Roiland, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? You can spare 1 lunch hour with Corey."
"No. See, Corey can't do it.
Listen, if I gave you the name of the general in the Civil War that she has to do the paper on, if you could just write up the paper, Darcy, I'd pay you."
"Yeah, I would.
How much do you want?" Roiland said.
"Roiland, there's no way I'm doing something like that. It's cheating and I'm not going to do it, okay?"
Darcy yelled, losing her temper. "You're such a goody-goody that you won't do me this one little favor?" Roiland pleaded.
"I'm not writing a paper and letting Corey put her name on it. Ms. Eckerly will bust us both."
"It's just not happening," Darcy said.
"Girl, I can't believe you," Roiland yelled, realizing that Darcy would not change her mind. "Don't you ever ask me for a favor."
Roiland returned to the hall and called Corey. Corey spoke excitedly when she heard his voice.
"Roiland, did you find somebody to do my paper?"
"Listen, there's this girl who can help you write the paper. She'll sit with you and go over it step by step. She's really smart, and I know you'd be okay doing it if she helped you," Roiland said.
Roiland, I just can't do it. I hate history. I can't write a decent sentence. I don't care how much help I get. Don't you understand? If I write the report, I'll flunk history. Roiland, I'm desperate, Corey cried.
Relax, baby. I'll ask around tomorrow. I'm sure I can get somebody to do your report for you, Roiland promised.
Okay. Oh, Mom's coming in. Bye.
Roiland put the phone down slowly. Corey did not even say love you or anything. It was as if Roiland had never even bought her the necklace for $300. It was as if the thing he did, stealing from the poor old Ambrose Miller and causing his death, had been for nothing. Roiland would never completely forget what happened to Mr. Miller. It would remain a dark, painful shadow over the rest of his life, no matter how hard he tried to push it away. But he had convinced himself that the gift to Corey would cement their relationship so firmly that he would have this incredible girl in his life forever. And somehow, that would even things up. But now, he had the awful feeling that he was wrong. What if the gift was not enough? Maybe Corey desired the necklace in the same way a child wants a shiny ornament on a Christmas tree. And now that she had it, he thought, she might turn her attention to something else. But what? Roiland's mother came home and made small talk with Darcy for a few minutes. Then Darcy left, and Mom pulled off her heavy overcoat.
It's so cold where I work. I'm just cold to the bone. Well, Roiland, you have a good day?
Yeah, sure, Roiland lied. I'm tired, though. I'm going to go to bed. Roiland hurried to his room and closed the door. He fell into a fitful sleep and kept waking up all night, sometimes in a cold sweat. He thought he heard Tuttle chopping at the hard ground in the basement, trying to make a hole big enough to bury Mr. Miller. At school the next morning, Roiland looked for Corey. He found her talking to Steve Morris.
What do you want?
Roiland growled, looking at Steve.
Roiland, Corey exclaimed. Steve is going to do my paper for me. Isn't that great?
Roiland's heart sank. Now Steve would have a claim on Corey, too.
You ain't smart enough to do Corey's history report, Roiland said. All you know is how to play football. You're just a jock, and all jocks are stupid.
Look who's talking, Steve sneered. You're lucky you didn't get kicked off the team with the grades you got. I'm getting a B-plus in history, and I know that's better than you.
Before Roiland could respond, Corey cut in, putting her hand on his arm. Hey, Roiland, don't be mad. Steve is just doing me a favor. You do want me to pass history, don't you?
You think you own Corey, Steve laughed, his eyes narrowing. Nobody owns anybody else. You better deal with that.
Roiland glared at Steve Morris with hatred, but he did not know what to do about it. He turned and walked toward the history classroom. In a moment, Corey caught up to him.
Please don't be mad, Roiland, Corey said. Girl, do you know what I went through to get that necklace? Ever since you got it, you ain't done nothing except treat me like garbage. Give me one reason why I shouldn't be mad,
Roiland said bitterly.
Roiland, I told you I loved the necklace. Anyway, you said you had plenty of money and that you're always buying expensive gifts. Was that a lie?
No. It's just that I really went out of my way to get you what you wanted. And now it's like it never happened, Roiland said resentfully. You're hanging on Steve Morris and treating me like yesterday's newspaper.
I'm not treating you that way, Roiland. I don't understand what's wrong with you. You know I need somebody to do my paper, and Steve said he would. I think that's very nice.
What's your problem? Corey demanded. Roiland turned and stormed off, deciding to skip history. He got an excuse slip by telling the school nurse he felt sick. He could not sit in that classroom today, with Corey smiling at Steve. After history class, Roiland ran into Cooper in the hallway.
Man, girls ain't nothing but trouble, Roiland fumed to Cooper.
Cooper laughed.
You just finding that out? You didn't figure that out in first grade?
I gave Corey Archer this beautiful necklace for her birthday, and now she's flirting with Steve Morris, Roiland complained. It was not like him to discuss his personal problems with anybody. When he was hurting, he always tried to hurt somebody else.
but Roiland hurt now more than he ever did in his life.
Say what? Cooper gasped. You gave that new girl a necklace already?
Yeah, and now she's dumping me for Mars.
Man, Mars is smooth. He always got girls chasing him.
If you think you can win her from Mars with some cheap jewelry, you got another thing coming, Cooper said.
Coop, it wasn't cheap. I paid $300 for that necklace, Roiland said.
What? Cooper gasped in astonishment. How much?
$300. That's a month of tips at the Golden Grill, just so she can have that necklace on her neck, Roiland sighed.
Man, you the craziest dude I ever met, Cooper replied. Tara Carson is my girl, and she'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for her. But the most I ever paid for a gift for her was $20.
We ain't talking just about any girl, Coop. This is Corey Archer. Have you taken a good look at her? She's the best. She's the sports cars guys dream about but never get to touch.
Cooper shook his head. Know what, man? I wouldn't take 6 Corey Archers for 1 Tara Carson. You know what I'm saying? Tara's there for me, and she's always going to be. And she got heart.
Roiland shrugged. Tara Carson was a big girl. She had a pretty face. But she could not compare to Corey.
Coop, I'm telling you, my life is a mess, Roiland said with deep sadness.
Hey, man, you ain't using, are you? Cooper asked suddenly.
Drugs? No way. Are you crazy? Roiland exclaimed.
Well, whatever's going on, just know I got your back. We're friends, yo. You hear me?
Roiland could not believe what Cooper had just said. In his entire life, nobody except Mr. Miller had ever considered Roiland a friend. Roiland was deeply touched by Cooper's simple words. But if Cooper knew what he had done, he never would have called him a friend.